The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
The incredible power of prophetic word and words spoken into your life. How many of you have ever had a word spoken into your life and you just, you know, it took a while for it to happen, but when it happened, you know, you just realized this is a God thing. This is God speaking. And those words are very important. I want to tell you, as a pastor, when you're working in a church and trying to grow a church and accomplish things, those kind of words are extremely important to be able to hang on to those things, to look at those things, to keep you motivated. Because I want to tell you something, there's a lot of things that can take you down. They'll just weigh you down. And unless you have some kind of supernatural experience and expectation of what God is going to do in the future, you'll just be worn down. I don't know how people do it unless they can trust and believe that there's something supernatural about this stuff. If they're just doing it for a career, my goodness, no wonder so many pastors get out of the ministry. It'll beat you down. But they're supernatural words. And I want you to understand that I believe wholeheartedly in this prophetic ministry and the prophecy and the words that God gives. We just know in part. They're not always right on. I want you to understand that. We just know in part. We see in part. We understand in part. But when God gives us something to hold on to, it is so powerful for your life. And I just want to encourage you that if you get something, and something that we're working on is making sure that when it happens in the church service, that it's recorded so that you can have it. And if you have an opportunity, record it. There are so many people with iPhones and smartphones these days. Bring it, record it. You know, everybody has the ability to do that. So if God's speaking something to you, hold on to that because it is important for your future. Hear what God has to say. I want to share something that was given to Tammy and me a couple years ago. When was it? 3 years ago. It was about 3 years ago. It was the first time I really met Apostle Kelly, John P. Kelly. And by the way, Apostle Kelly was the one that was speaking at our SOMA conference. Powerful man of God. He's just incredibly, the way he hears from God and the way he is able to articulate and share things. It's just incredible. He's not a fiery brimstone preacher, but he's a tremendous teacher. Yes, very, very good. And very solid. And he has such wisdom to impart to the body of Christ. I hope to have him here sometime in the near future. He's from Texas. But anyhow, 3 years ago, this is what he spoke over us. We were able to record it. He said, there's an oppression over your work, over your ministry and your church. On one hand, there's success. There's achievement, especially from the early building. Because of the oppression of the area, it's gotten inside. You have to keep it out. We have a responsibility, you see. In everything, we have a responsibility. God's power is available. The Holy Spirit is here. But we have to keep it out. We have to exercise our authority. Yet God is saying this year that I will show you a new way. I will show you new ways. It's a year of rebuilding, restructure, so you will have a greater work where you are. Now, at that time, things, you know, I don't think things were changing much, but right after that, things began to change a great deal here at Bethel Worship Center. New structures. new things that was showing up here, new people. Some of the old was moving away. Some of the old structure, some of the old expectations were being swept away, and some of the people were being moved out. I'm not complaining, I'm not condemning, I'm just merely stating that's a fact. That's what was happening. But he goes on to say, not only new wines for the church, but a new wineskin for the church. Do you know how significant that is to what has happened here at Bethel Worship Center? There has been a huge transition. We not only have new wine, but we have a new wineskin to hold that new wine. This is extremely powerful. And what I'm seeing, what I believe is happening right now at Bethel Worship Center, is that we are poised to accomplish incredible feats for the kingdom of God. This new wineskin, that we're receiving the new wine, we're able to hold it. You see, you can't take the new wine and put it in the old wineskin. What happens? Jesus said, you know, he told us what happens. It'll bust. You know, it's not flexible enough. Sometimes we get to the point with our old wineskins and our old religious ways, we're just not flexible enough. And God wants to shake that up a little bit. And believe me, it's not pleasant when God shakes that. It's painful. Because the people that don't like the new wineskin, they separate themselves from the wine. They go in another direction. They do other things. Sometimes it's a God thing. God is moving them because they're unable to deal with that. Whatever the situation, it is uncomfortable to be a new wineskin and receiving new wine. But glory be to God. There's nothing like receiving what God has for you. And it's always great to be on the other side. You know, we're kind of on the other side of that now, so I can talk about it. It's not quite as painful. But when you're going through it, and I'm speaking to somebody in here this morning, when you're going through it, when you're going through that transition, it is very painful. But take heart. Your God is with you. Your God has prepared you, and your God is filling you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, sabakato. Oh, look at it. Hallelujah. Just want you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning. It's a word of comfort. It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of power. Lean not to your own understanding, but you have to trust in God. In the times that I'm talking about, when you go through these kind of times, you have a tendency to try to lean on your own understanding. Try to figure this thing out. What has happened? What's going on? Why are these things happening? What's the conditions? What created it? What is causing this to happen? But listen, God is saying, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Trying to move on here this morning, believe me. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Sabbath. Glory. Oh, Sabbath. Oh, what God is saying, you've got to get your focus. At one time you had a focus. Your focus was on God. The kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things that this Gentiles seek after. Those who are unsaved seek after. God will take care of it for you. But somewhere along the line you got off track. Somewhere along the line, you began to focus not on the kingdom as much as you were focusing on the things. The things have gotten in the way. God is saying, come back to your first love. Reject the things. Seek first the kingdom. Come to your first love. And your first love will take care of everything. Hallelujah. Oh, Sabakoloto. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy has laid a trap. His desire is to set you in a position where power and authority becomes your God. But God is warning you this morning. By the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will listen, you will have wisdom, discernment, and the power to reject the offer that is being made to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Please take that serious.
Yes, yes.
I'll take you seriously. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Okay, we're going to move on to our message this morning. You know, Bible school coming up. It's exciting. And they're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So I decided that I would talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to talk about, you know, the title of my message, Got Fruit. Do you have fruit? You better have. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's important that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that we understand the fruit of the Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. Can't move on until I, you know, this scripture just jumped right out at me. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Or Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. That's what God was talking about earlier. Don't be entangled by that yoke of bondage. Believe me, it looks good. It sounds good. Many years ago, when I was a new believer in Christ and I was seeking God and I was asking God to use me, I said, God, you know, I just want to be somebody in your kingdom. I don't necessarily be somebody. I just want to be somebody in your kingdom. I want to do something for you. And as I was praying that prayer, and I prayed it pretty regularly, as I was praying that prayer, a man came to our church, a little country church, and he was a prophet. I didn't know he was a prophet at the time, but he was operating in the gift of a prophetic ministry. And he prophesied to several people, and he prophesied to me, and he said something that was just, you know, it seemed crazy at the time. He said, a friend is going to offer you a position, and it's going to look good, going to sound good, but it's not going to be good for you. Didn't make any sense to me. But about a week later, a friend that I'd known for many years came to me and he offered me a job. And that job was a job in Kentucky, where I had to go to Kentucky and I had to sell. You know me, I'm not a great salesman. So I had to learn some sales techniques. And I had to sell these books to businesses that then these businesses were sent out to people in the community who had lost loved ones, a bereavement ministry or business. Now, the thing about it was it sounded good because it was all this was based on love, on the life of Christ, and it was a ministry, some sort, business. It offered me something that I was looking for, you know, something more than just working for the state, which is what I was doing at the time. Nothing wrong with that, but that, you know, I was just looking to go out beyond that. It offered me that, and it offered, it sounded very financially that it would be very beneficial to me. So it looked good, it sounded good, it almost tasted good, you know? But I went and I spent the probably three of the most miserable weeks of my life doing that. And when I did it, probably after the first week, I realized I was doing exactly what God told me not to do. Said, don't get caught up in this, and I did it. But here's what I want to share with you this morning. I want you to know that God is trying to keep you from doing something that's going to be painful for you. That was very painful for me. It was very, very difficult. And God is trying to keep that from happening. But however, I want to share this with you. The grace of God was still sufficient. Because when I got away from it, when I said, look, this is not right, I'm in the wrong place, and I moved away from it, the Spirit of God did not leave me because I'd done something that was disobedient. That's right. Maybe that you're on the other side of something right now. God was still there. And he opened new doors for us. Right after that, that's when we started working for Children's Services, and that was the right thing. That was the direction that God was taking us. Then we opened the Casina Cara, the group home for teenagers, and you know that was the direction. That was what God had ordered. That was God's steps for us. But the enemy had another plan. He tried his very best to take me off into a new direction. Thank God. I want you to know this, that even if you make some mistakes, your God is still with you. And at any point where you recognize that you're on the wrong track, and you get back on the right track, your God will make everything right for you. Hallelujah. But I want you to know he's warning you this morning. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. All right. Gosh, I want to get away from this. I want to go to my message. All right? Now please just understand. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, make sure they understand what is happening. Okay. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, verse 22. Amen. No, I'm not sure, but I'm going to move on here. We'll see where God goes with it. 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is fruit. The Greek word here is karpos. It means fruit produced from crop-bearing plants, trees. It's a harvest. There should be, as a believer in Jesus Christ, every believer must produce fruit of the Spirit. And there's a couple things that I want us to understand. This is not fruits. This is fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have young kids in your household or grandchildren and you've seen The Wiggles? Anybody seen The Wiggles? Come on. A lot of people have seen The Wiggles. Well, I've seen The Wiggles sing a song, Fruit Salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Just to encourage kids to eat fruit salad. You know, I like in the fruit of the Spirit, it's kind of a fruit salad. Because it's really one bowl, because it's actually the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit. So it's really one fruit, and it's got a bunch of different flavors. So it kind of a fruit salad. So when you eat a fruit salad, you get a lot of the different flavors and tastes. And, you know, I'm the kind of person, I like that. I like the different tastes, different flavors. It's appealing to me. So this fruit that is to be produced in our life, I want you to completely understand, it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So you can't take one of them and move it out and say, I still have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you can't remove peace and say, oh, I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit. No, because you've taken something away from what is meant to be a part of the Spirit's operation in your life. So we as believers in Jesus Christ, we must recognize that these items, these nine things that are listed here in Galatians, are supposed to be and must be an ongoing production in our life. It's to be produced on a regular basis, constantly. And when we walk outside of that and we're not walking in love, we're not walking with peace, we're not walking in self-control, we're missing it. It's there, believe me, it's there in you. It has to be. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. It's there. It's in every believer. So it's our responsibility as believers then to make sure that we allow it to operate in our life. Every one of the gifts, or every one of the fruit, or parts of the fruit. All right. Bunch of flavors. How many have ever had a certain food? You grew up with a certain food that was just, you know, you loved that food. But, you know, it was either an aunt or your mother or somebody fixed that food. And you loved that food. And then you had somebody else fix that food for you. It's not good, is it? I mean, you know, that nobody can fix it like your special loved one fixes it. You grow up with that and you get attached to that flavor. It's yours. You know it. That's what you're looking at. When I was growing up, my grandma would fix me fudge. And later on in her life, as she got a little older, it was not good fudge. It was dark, it was hard. But I want to tell you something, I love my grandma fudge. And she fixed it for me. These are special items that the Holy Spirit has prepared for your life. Fruit that you can access and walk in and operate according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the second thing I want to share with you this morning. Is number two is that it is the Spirit's power that you operate in these things, not your own self-will. It's manifest in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we can increase the manifestation of those gifts in our life is to get closer to the Lord. When those things begin, when that fruit starts to get sour in your life, there's nothing you can do about it except get closer to Jesus. Because that's what sweetens it. There's some sugar added when we get closer to the Lord. That's what makes it so good. So listen to me. As I look out at the body of Christ and I see the things that are happening in the body of Christ, I see some of the nasty fruit that is produced in the body of Christ. I can tell you this. We need to get closer to our Lord. Because that's the only way that fruit is going to be produced properly and be as sweet as it's supposed to be. And any time we start recognizing that, hey, I don't have as much self-control as I should have, get back to the Lord. Go to Him. Hey, I'm not walking in joy and peace like I should. Go to the Lord. You can't manifest it yourself. You can try as hard as you want. You can sit around and say, I have self-control, I have self-control, I have self-control, I have self-control. You'll do nothing but wear yourself out. Run to the Lord. That's where it is. That's where the power is. That's why we can say you can overcome addiction.
That's right.
You can overcome any habit that you have in your life. If the Lord speaks to you and says, get that thing out of your life, if you run to the Lord, you can do it. Because the self-control that you are given to be able to overcome that is by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. It's not by your own merit. Remember that song we were singing this morning? It's not your own merit. It's not your ability. It's not how wonderful you are. It's God's power. It's the release of the Holy Spirit in you. Glory. Amen. Luke chapter 3 verse 9 says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Whew. So we have a responsibility to bear good fruit. A believer in Jesus Christ will walk with the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the fruit's produced by the Holy Spirit. That was the second thing. Turn with me to 1 John 1, 5 through 7. We're going to look at this just a little bit more, and then we're going to finish it up, this part of it. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. It says that we have fellowship with the Lord. And the fellowship here, the word is koinonia. We all know koinonia. It's fellowship with one another. It's fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Close mutual association. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. So we got to dispel the darkness. We got to walk in the light. I just submit to you this morning that we need to stop trying to produce the fruit in our life and get with the fellowship with the Lord. Because he's saying right here in this scripture, the only thing that's going to keep you from walking in darkness is fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with him. Get close to him. Desire him. Move away from your own desires and passions. Koinonia with the Lord. All right. Let's look at love this morning, because that's the first fruit. Galatians 5. Back there. Love. The Greek word here is agape. Brotherly love, affection, goodwill. It's the God kind of love. This is the principal Greek word used for love in the New Testament. But what you need to understand is that in Greek literature, it was very seldom used. It was used in the New Testament. The writers understood that they could use this word because it could be manifest in such a way to talk about the magnificent love of our God. Of the three words for love in the Hellenistic world, it was the least common used. The other two words were eros, which meant sexual love, erotic love, and phileo, which meant friendship, kind of love. But agape was seldom used. But in the New Testament, it's the most used word. It's used to designate the unmerited love God has for his people. And his people are to have for him and for one another. And when it's used for human love or loving one another, it means selfless and self-giving love. Love, according to everything that I read, is a decisive Christian characteristic. And it's intended by God to permeate our lives, every part of our life. And the first expression of our love is to be toward God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." If we really love something, a person or something, sometimes we think we love inanimate objects. But if we really love something, it's not very far from our thoughts, right? If you love someone, they're on your mind. And they don't slip out of your mind for very long periods of time. You think about them. They're a part of you. Where you go and what you do, it's you think about, well, what could I do to please that person? Like buy them zero candy bar, right? And not eating it, right? That really, wonderful act. I bought her a candy bar. Stupid thing. I ate it. I'll never live it down. But thinking about the things of God, you know, if we truly love God like the scripture tells us to, Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, every part of your being. Then he's not going to be very far from our thoughts throughout our day-to-day life. And I fear that what is happening is that God becomes just a fleeting thought in the morning or maybe in the afternoon. But all the other parts of the day, God is not a part of it. And it's difficult for Christians to be able to walk through this life unless you make God a part of your breath. Because there's so much, so many temptations, so many difficulties that we have to deal with. You have to think about God all the time and the power of God and what he can do for you. So number one, love is to love God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Sometimes we love God just in our deeds and the things that we do. Sometimes we love God when we love other people. You see, all these things are a very important part of truly having a relationship and loving God. Keeping our heart and our mind focused on what pleases God. In verse 8 and 9 of that same scripture in Deuteronomy, it says you shall, first of all, it says you're going to teach your children, and then it says you're going to bind these things on your hand, these scriptures on your hand, the word of God, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, I want you to understand something. The Jewish people got to the point where they literally did this. They took the scripture, they put it on their doorposts. In fact, they would either touch it, if it was in a place where they'd kiss it as they'd go in and out of their home. It was that important to them. However, it just became a religious exercise. Jesus told the Pharisees that you love to enlarge the phylacteries and the borders of your garments. And what he was saying to them is, it went along with this scripture in Deuteronomy. The phylacteries were scripture that they put on their arms that was supposed to be close to their heart, put it on their left arm. And they sometimes put it on their forehead. And the larger the phylactery, the more holy you were to be. So they enlarged them to look holy. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said about the Pharisees. You don't want to be holy like them. You see, sometimes we do things like that. We put pictures on our wall in the house. We put scripture up there. We put things on a refrigerator. Nothing wrong with any of that. We put bumper stickers. Honk if you love Jesus. Drives me crazy. I love Jesus. I'm not going to honk. We do these kind of things. What was the wristband? What would Jesus do? Nothing wrong with it. However, I know for a fact that there was a lot of people that wore that thing and didn't care what Jesus did or what Jesus would do. It's a whole bunch of them. You see, these kind of things are still operating in our world today. These phylacteries are items that seem to be make a person seem holy. In reality, they're not. People get on Facebook, and one time they'll post something that, you know, praise God, this or that happened. The next time, they're cursing somebody for doing something to them or saying something about them. Yeah. Craziness. What is real? We don't know sometimes. That's why it's very, very important that we walk and we recognize that our relationship with Jesus Christ is so important on a daily basis. Think about it. I that wristband was wonderful. What would Jesus do? Everything that you do, you should think about. What would Jesus do in this situation? It would stop a lot of nonsense if we'd really do it. It would stop a lot of pain and anguish in people's lives if we would really take that to heart. number of years ago, a young police officer was taking a final exam for his police academy when he came upon the following question. You're on patrol in the outer city when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby city. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there is an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your chief of police, who is at present away in another country. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that this is a man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown in the adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. The question is, describe in a few words what actions you would take. The young man simply thought for a moment, and then he penned, I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. I'm afraid that's what we do as Christians sometimes. We see all the chaos that's going on. And you know, it's a whole lot easier just to mingle with the crowd than it is to stand out and be the light. I just want to encourage you this morning to think about some of the situations and circumstances that you are in on a weekly, daily, and weekly basis. What does God want you to do with it? What is the opportunity that He has given you? Please don't take off your Christian uniform and mingle with the crowd. Amen. In Deuteronomy 6:6, it goes on in verse 6, it talks about teaching your children. And the next thing I want to share with you, the agape love of God is to be expressed to our family. And one of the ways that we do that is to teach our children about God. And that our daily life will be an expression of our love of God, and our children will learn that. It's very important here's what it says. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. How many of us are talking about the Lord when we're sitting in our house? It's a little hard to do that over the volume of the TV. Right? Amen. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Now, I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody here. I'm just saying, you know, we need to examine ourselves. When you sit by the house, and when you walk by the way, how many of us even walk by the way anymore? You know, if we got to go half a mile away, we get in our car. No, vehicle, whatever, four wheeler. Sometimes, you know, our house is pretty close. Most of the time I walk, but sometimes I'll go out and get my car and drive down. I drive down the road. It takes me longer to get in the car and drive down to the house than it is to walk down to her house. Walking by the way, you know, here's what it's saying is that we're just way too busy in our lives. We're not spending the kind of time with our family and our children that we're supposed to. This is when you walk by the way, when you go, wherever you go, whatever you do, be thinking about teaching and training your children in the ways of the Lord. Susanna Wesley was a great mother. She had a lot of things that were difficult in her life. Her husband was a pastor, but he had bouts of depression. So one time, he left her with 19, well, she had 19 children. I don't know how many she had at the time. But one time, he left her and was gone for a year, and she didn't know where he was. But she was an incredible believer in Jesus Christ, and she taught her children the things of God. We all know John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist organization. And by the way, the Methodist organization at that time was a little different organization than it is today. It's been watered down, and it has accepted the political correctness of our day. It's even coming to the place where they're talking about ordaining homosexuals. This is a crazy world that we live in. Christianity is being turned upside down. Real faith is being persecuted, and it's going to get worse unless we take a stand for Jesus Christ. We're letting things happen. But anyhow, he was John Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote hundreds of hymns. I don't know how many, but still they're active in the church today. She did a great job of training and teaching her children. And she had a policy that she would spend a certain amount of time with each child every day. But one of the things that she would do is she would spend 1 hour in prayer. Now, where would she go? 19 children. How do you get away from 19 children? She would take her apron and put it over. It was her prayer shawl. She put it over her head. And when she did that, her children knew Mama was praying, and you don't bother Mama when she's praying. Every day. Powerful woman. All of her children, she trained them to know the Lord. We've got to train our children. If we really love them, we've got to train our children to know the Lord. The last thing I want to share with you this morning about love. We know that we're to love our neighbor. And that sometimes is difficult. How many of us really know our neighbors these days? I mean, the people that live inside of you, we may know them in passing, but do we really know our neighbors? Once again, it's about our society and how rushed we are and how we're running here and there and all kinds of things going on. But we're to love our neighbors, and we know that. And for the most part, I think most of us do a pretty good job of loving our neighbors. But here's the most difficult thing that I find, particularly in my life, and that is what Jesus said about loving your enemies. I can love the person that lives across the road from us because I don't really know them. Know them that well. And I can, once in a while I'll go over and plow her driveway for her when there's snow, use our blade, and that's an act of love. She's not done anything to me, but what about the person, the guy that has harmed me in some way? Now, that's the guy that I have a difficult time with. I don't really want to love somebody that doesn't like me. I could care less whether he likes me or not, but I don't want to love him. And I want him to know that I don't love him. That's part of being the fulfillment of vengeance. You did this to me, and I don't like it, and I don't like you. And if I get an opportunity, I'm going to get you back. Isn't that our flesh? Come on. We feel that, but that's not the way Jesus said we're supposed to handle it. We got to love our enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love you. But I don't like that teaching. If it was up to me, I would take it out of the New Testament. I would get it out of there. And then I'd go stomp on some people. Wouldn't we feel that? If that wasn't there, man, I'd just be free. I could go do what I wanted to do. I'd pound somebody. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, love though your enemies and bless them that persecute you.
That's right.
Mm. That's part of the love that Jesus is talking about. That's part of the fruit.
Yes,
That's why, I told you earlier on, that's why you cannot do it in and of yourself. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. Stand with me. I'm going to wrap this up. Yes, we'll do that as soon as we finish up here. We're going to have the baptism. Praise God. I was thinking about the loving your enemies. I read a story about a nurse. She was a nurse in World War I, and she was captured by the Turks, she and her brother. And while they were captured, one of the soldiers murdered her brother right in front of her. Well, she managed to escape and get away, and she went back to nursing and fixing up the soldiers. And one day, a Turkish soldier was brought in, and she recognized him. It was the guy that murdered her brother. She wanted to just let this guy die, but she was a believer in Jesus Christ, and she knew that she could not. Now, here's the thing we got to understand about this, is that loving your enemy is not always a feeling. It's an action. You're not always going to feel like it, but how do you handle it? What do you do? How are you going to act toward that person? She nurtured this guy, brought him back to health, and when he got well enough, he recognized her. And he said to her, "Why didn't you let me die?" And she said, "Oh, I wanted to. But the God that I serve told me that I am to love my enemies and bless those who persecute me." He broke down and he said, "I want to know the God that you serve." That's the only way we're going to change people. It's the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Let's pray. Father God, today we just worship you. We thank you. You're an awesome God. And we're about to have this baptism. And this is a glorious time, Father. We recognize that Noah has made a commitment to Christ. And he wants to be baptized before all these believers. We just praise you and glorify you in it. And Father, we also look to you this morning as we recognize that it's the love that we are to have is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we're asking you this morning to just stir our heart, Lord. Stir us to have the ability to release everything to you. Because only through releasing to the Holy Spirit will we be able to walk in the kind of love that you want us to have. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you show us these things, that you help us to draw closer to you daily so that the fruit will be sweet and it will entice others to your kingdom. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello, this is Pastor Rob. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for this podcast is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, Romans 10:9 makes it extremely simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at www.bethel.org. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. I hope you have a blessed day.